This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Michigan state government appointed emergency managers with broad powers to reduce costs at financially struggling school districts. Michigan has seen school districts with finances so bad that it's led to the dissolution by the state of the district. The state's largest school district, Detroit Public Schools, has been in financial distress for a long time. It came under the control of state-appointed emergency managers and actually in the end fared no better because of that. And now the legislature has approved a temporary fix that, in the long term, will not solve the problems that the district faces. Dozens more school districts are facing severe financial troubles. So why? Well, a three-year study has some of the answers. Its title is Which Districts Get Into Financial Trouble and Why? Michigan's Story. The research is about to be published in the Journal of Education Finance. The lead author is David Arson, and he joins us now. Let's start with the questions in the title of this study. Which districts tend to be getting into financial trouble?
Well, many districts are getting into financial trouble.
Dozens, yes, by my count. Yeah.
Dozens. This is a large-scale quantitative study that examined all Michigan school districts with enrollment of at least 100 students over a period from 1995 up to the present, the most recent data available.
And it's basically when Proposal A was implemented on.
So we're looking at the whole Proposal A period. And we note, and we take as our measure of district fiscal distress, their fund balances, because under the state emergency management law, districts, once they get into a deficit situation, that's grounds for the state intervening and other triggers. So that is our key focus. What causes those fund balances to get low? We framed it knowing that some factors are at the district's control, right? Things that they can do through their own resource allocation, their teacher salaries, their class size, their administrative spending, their health benefits for their employees that they negotiate, and also contracting out services, right? All things that are within their power that could have, and we might expect to have, an influence on their financial status and the degree of fiscal stress. So we looked at all those kind of variables for all these districts, and we also looked at a set of state policies. So how much money are they getting the per pupil foundation funding enrollment? Because all the money follows the kid. And a big part of the enrollment question was also to separate out the change in enrollment due to inter-district choice and also to charter schools.
And population loss.
And population loss, absolutely. And the share of high-cost kids, because especially for special ed, the state payment for those children falls far short of the cost. So there's a set of policies both at the state level and at the local level, and we're looking at the influence of all these for all these districts statewide. And what we found is that the majority, over 80% of the variation across the state, was due to state policies. The things of local resource allocation mattered, and some they were significant, but their overall influence was small.
Right, and they only have power to cut. They can't raise anymore except for, like, if they want a new building.
That's a key point. I mean, we have a system of finance in Michigan where the state controls operating funding. It's not left to the local. It's not the way it used to be where you had local elections to determine the operating revenues. It's controlled by the state. So the big game there is enrollment, right?
Well, let's talk about some of the specifics that you just mentioned. When the state takes control of a district, when they're trying to fix their financial problems, how much consideration is given to the academic achievements in the process of fixing the financial problems?
Michigan's emergency management law, the trigger for state intervention is exclusively on financial grounds.
Not how bad the school is, but how badly financed it is.
The emergency management law is exceptionally weak as an instrument of academic accountability. It assigns complete academic power to emergency managers, but contains no accountability. There's no requirement that the emergency manager have prior experience in schools and so forth. On that count, it's all about the money. And so we need to recognize that the central administrative structure of Michigan school districts really does need to pay attention to academics as well.
Now, you mentioned the money follows the student, and that's whether the student goes to a neighboring public school district or to a charter school district. But that pupil allotment doesn't take into account the, as you mentioned, higher cost of special ed students. So what's the result? What happens because of that?
So I want to take a step back. I just want to say statewide, overall, inflation-adjusted revenue per pupil has declined by about 25% since 2002.
Now, I'm going to stop you for a second because that flies in the face of what we hear from Republicans, some conservatives, and that is we've been increasing the school budget, the school foundation formula, per pupil spending each year for several years now?
Well, it's not every year. If we go back a while, there's a $470 per pupil drop several years ago. But I guess the answer to that is yes, in most years it has increased in nominal terms. But once you adjust for inflation, the increases have not kept pace with inflation. And so that's something that's most beyond the control of local districts.
And you said approximately a 25% decline since 2002.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant.
That's significant. And over that same period, the fund balances of Michigan school districts, so the whole state, back in 2002, there was about, for all the districts, you add up their fund balances, about $2.7 billion. That's down to about $1 billion in 2013. And that shape of that fund balances for all the districts is about the same shape as this trend in real funding per pupil.
I want to talk about the racial part of this. You found the state's been taking over school districts in poor, majority African-American communities. A study finds, quote, state policy presumes that local district fiscal distress is caused by local officials' poor decision-making and management, end quote. But the study finds the state policies contribute to the most hard-pressed districts' problems. So we're talking about a little bit of why that happens, but why does it seem that most of them are poor and black, and does that have anything to do with it, or is it just a matter that they're poor?
Well, these are communities that face a lot of problems.
And state policy makes it worse?
Well, yes, I think that's true. We could have different state policies that cushion the adverse effects of poverty and racial segregation. Although most Michigan districts have faced very tight budgetary circumstances over the last decade, it's been especially hard in districts that are predominantly African American. By 2009, the average fund balance has been negative in deficit for districts in which at least 40% of the students are African American. So something different is happening in these districts. The main thing that's going on is they're losing enrollment. Okay. And so, for instance, for Michigan's central cities as a whole, that's a larger group than the ones the state intervened in, between 2002 and 2013, they lost 27% of their enrollment. You translate that into change in per pupil funding in real terms, it's about a 45% decline. Huge declines in revenue.
So are these kids going mostly to local school districts neighboring, or are they going?
It depends on the local district. There's a combination of factors. Some of these communities are losing resident population, folks moving out to other communities. In the hard-pressed districts, school choice is a huge factor. In fact, it's clear that in both charter schools and interdistrict choice, for these targeted districts, they really had a heck of a time stabilizing enrollment in the face of school choice. The other problem there is that these are districts with high concentration of special ed children, and those are costly kids, and they're not fully reimbursed. Okay. So there is a racial pattern in districts having deficits.
The study is critical of Proposal A, a centralized approach of funding schools that initially was applauded for bringing greater equity to districts across the state. The study says that's really not working anymore. What changed?
There are many successes with Proposal A. Proposal A did narrow the gap across districts in the per pupil funding. That's a positive thing. It didn't get rid of all the upper end districts. We didn't level up to the top 50 districts or so. We didn't level them down. So mostly upper middle class areas. Same districts on top in 1994 as they are today. But it did narrow the gap. The big problem with Proposal A, aside from that, is that it did not and has not adjusted the revenue for variations in cost of providing students services. Big issues there are special ed. That's one I'll focus on. Another big one is declining enrollment, because when enrollment declines, the revenues decline faster than the costs, and that means that districts have to either draw down their fund balance or cut back services on the students left behind. Most of them do both. And the other big thing that Proposal A did not do is take care of capital funding, school facilities. That is funded entirely based on local property taxes, so it's a totally decentralized system for facilities. And variations across communities in their property wealth per pupil, it's all funded by local property taxes, create huge inequalities in the facilities, in the equipment, in the band instruments, right down the line.
might even find, I don't know, big school districts with schools with mold in them and leaky roofs and things like that. So what's the bottom line for policymakers? I mean, what should they be doing to stop hurting local districts?
I think it would be a good thing if we could get to the world where the total amount of revenue devoted to public education in Michigan basically moves at about the pace of inflation. Secondly, once we do that, then you can begin to think about how the pie can be sliced up differently to address differences in the costs that local districts confront that they have. Costs, by the way, are things from an economist standpoint are beyond a local district's control. So variations in special ed enrollments or regional differences, UP will have different cost issues. So high-cost students, regional cost of living differences, and special ed, those are the big ones there. We need to do that. And address capital facilities. That's a big issue for variations in the quality of services.
That's David Arson. He's the lead author of the study, Which Districts Get Into Financial Trouble and Why? Michigan's Story. The research will be published in the Journal of Education Finance and came from the Education Policy Center at Michigan State University. Thanks very much for talking with me.
My pleasure.